Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
26 days without rain. That's what we had. And then Halloween comes in, and just in time for the kids to trick or treat, it's going to time out where that's where we get a real chance for showers this afternoon. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Watch the radar, see what's going on in your area. Maybe you'll be able to dodge it. And maybe you're not even going to trick or treat. Either way, be aware of that. Highs of 85 and looking into the future. None's going to change for the next week. And it really is hard to get a feeling for the passage of time, because here we are, Halloween, and looking at November and daylight saving time going away, and usually there's like some really cool weather kind of get you in the mood for that, but it seems like it's summertime, right? We're going to talk about immigration now. It's 6:14. We have a big problem with immigration in this country. Locally here, Kenner Police yesterday saying a fourth alleged victim has come forward in a child molestation case against 17-year-old Luis Renan Bonillo Alfaro. He's a Honduran in the country illegally, accused of sex crime against boys that police said are 4, 7, and 8, and a fourth boy that's unidentified under the age of 13. It's been captured on his own phone, and the police have the phone, and this guy's looking at life in prison if, I guess, we keep him here in this country. He's been turned over to ICE, and an ICE detainer has been placed on him. So I guess when you look at this story, you can look at it as either child molestation, if that's your frame of reference. You can look at it as a problem with immigration, if that's your frame of reference. To be clear, factually, not all immigrants that are in this country legally or illegally are child molesters. Secondly, most child molestation, just to keep the truth in this, cases involve people that are family members or that the victim is well acquainted with. With all that being said, every action, and as a physics thing, right, has a separate and opposite reaction. So with that in mind, we thought we'd talk to David Beard, Director of Immigration Studies at the Cato Institute. Former President Trump has pledged mass deportation if he's elected. Now, there is a societal aspect to that, but there's also an economic aspect to that that could cost the country some money. And with that, we welcome in David Beard. How you doing, David?
Good. Thanks for having me.
I just wanted to get all that out because people are going to start texting in with this and that and the other thing. And it's like, okay, there you go. That's the news. That's the facts. Now let's talk about what former President Trump has said he would do and what that would look like, both, I guess, economically, societally, et cetera.
Well, he's promised mass deportation. And you have to understand, look, you know, you're not going to have me on your show saying I'm for illegal immigration. I don't want illegal immigration. I want people to come here legally. I want people to have legal status. I want them to go through a vetted and screening process to screen out these criminals who you're talking about. That should be the focus of our laws and our law enforcement. Unfortunately, from my perspective, mass deportation does not put the proper focus on the criminal population. That mass deportation means indiscriminate. We're not going to prioritize the criminals ahead of anyone else. We're going to just go after them all equally.
Wait, hang on one second, David. I just want to interrupt for 1 second because I think that's important what you just said about prioritize. Because what that means is, just by casting the wide net, you could be deporting people that are helping the country economically, and we'll get to that in a second, while using those assets for deportation, wasting them on people that are not causing problems, allowing people that are causing problems, the criminals, to still be in the country, right?
Absolutely. And we have to actually see it in context. The goal of our immigration enforcement should be the safety and security of the United States, and that should always start with people who have caused problems, who have committed crimes, who have become known to law enforcement. And that's the way it's historically worked. It wouldn't work that way if you had indiscriminate mass deportation operation in effect. So security should be the focus. I think that's obvious. So before we even get to the economic part of it, yes, it's an economic negative to have people here committing crimes, but that's not the main point. The main point is we should have safety and security as being our top priorities, not just see how many people we can get out of the country by any means necessary.
So if we're going to triage this and we're going to determine who gets deported and who doesn't, we got to have information. We got to know who's a criminal, who's not, right? Do we have that?
That's right. Well, I mean, you have people who've been here for many years. I mean, the vast majority of the people who are here illegally have been here for over a decade. So we have a significant amount of sample size to say, okay, what have they been doing when they've been here? They've been supporting themselves and their family, leaving people alone. That's a reasonable way to start. Okay, let's start with the people who have proven that they're not committing crimes for a long period of time. Let's set them aside and focus on people who have committed serious offenses. And unfortunately, there are people out there. They're more difficult to get than just, I don't know, the guy who's going out in getting a driver's license. But those are the people who you should be spending more assets, more resources to go out and find, not just whoever shows up at, you know, any government office.
So what happens when an illegal immigrant in this country commits a crime? I don't know if it depends on the state or the jurisdiction. In the case that I cited that happened here in a suburb, the guy was turned over to ICE. I don't know. Do you deport him? Because here's the thing. You got a child rapist, and I'll say alleged, but he captured it on his video, and the police have the phone and the video. If you give him to ICE and they deport him, chances are he's back in the country the way things stand now. Tomorrow, who knows, right? So
yes.
do we then
yes, it's,
put him
we,
in?
We should still punish people. We should still punish that person to the fullest extent of the law. You still want to deter future activity and obviously prevent future harm by prosecuting people who commit these crimes, regardless of where they're from. Now, if he's from, you know, I don't know anything about this person, but you know, if they're from a country very far away, then that makes it much less likely that they'll be able to get back. You know, I think we have seen some improvements in recent months when it comes to security, but yeah, I would be much more comfortable if he was prosecuted and incarcerated.
So that brings up the point, and as we'll talk more about the economics as we come back, but jails are already full. So if we take the illegal immigrants, whatever percentage of that is, if it's 1%, 2%, whatever the number is, I don't know, that are committing serious crimes or that are committing crimes and imprison them rather than putting them out of the country, like Fred Flintstone with the cat, not to be disrespectful or anything, but that's kind of what it's like. You put them out, they come right back in. You got to have a sensible border policy before you even start doing this, right, David?
Well, I mean, obviously you need to start with security at the border. You need to focus our resources on this population. I would note, you know, as a broad, you know, survey that is done by the Census Bureau every year, immigrants are less likely to be incarcerated than the U.S.-born population. So the population as a whole, they're less likely to commit crimes for which they end up in our prisons. But it's still important to obviously secure the border and make sure that, you know, we're keeping out public safety threats from the country.
I guess the point I'm trying to make, and we'll pick it up when we come back, before you talk about mass deportation, going back to, again, not to be disrespectful, but Fred Flintstone, where he puts the cat out and the cat comes right back in, it seems like that's what we're doing here. So you can deport as many people as you want. If you don't have border security, again, they're coming right back in. We'll pick it up. We come back. 622, talking to David Beard, Director of Immigration Studies at the Cato Institute. A horrible incident in Kenner, and this 17-year-old's looking at the rest of his life in prison, and rightfully so, if he's guilty of these crimes, which it would appear that he is. 622, traffic now, WWL.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Immigration studies at the Cato Institute about mass deportation as promised by candidate former President Trump. And let me read it from the CBS story. American Immigration Council estimated it could cost $88 billion annually to deport a million people a year. The removal of millions of construction, hospitality, and agriculture workers could reduce the U.S. gross domestic product by $1.7 trillion. Tom Homan, who led U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, during the first Trump administration, says he doesn't know if the $88 billion a year cost estimate is accurate, but he says, what price do you put on national security? David Beer, how do you balance all of this? Every action has a reaction.
Well, I think you don't really need to balance it, right? We already talked about security being the focus. We should focus on people who have committed crimes in our law enforcement. That's common sense. I mean, that's what we do in our domestic economy and society. We focus on excluding people who've committed serious offenses. We prosecute them. We lock them up. We put them away. Whatever needs to be done to protect the safety and security of others. Now, when it comes to immigration, immigration is a benefit to the country economically. It would be better if it was here, people were coming legally, of course, but even when people come illegally, they still work, they still create value in this market economy. So you're creating goods and services for others, that increases the size of the economy, which creates value for everyone else. That's the whole point of a market economy. The Congressional Budget Office, they do their estimates of how much this population surge will contribute to economic growth. They say the recent surge in immigration will increase the size of the economy by about $1.5 trillion. So you can basically subtract that from our economy if you reverse what has happened in recent years. So there is an economic benefit to it, but obviously we should have a system that focuses on security and vetting people and letting them, okay, at that point, go on and contribute to the economy and do it in a legal way.
So before you talk about mass deportation, first thing you got to do is secure the borders. Correct me if I'm wrong. Then you need to identify who the bad people are. Then, unless you secure the borders, deporting them is not going to do any good because they're going to come right back in. So you would then imprison the people that are the bad actors, but even that's going to cost the country money. Accurate?
Absolutely. I mean, it obviously starts with securing the border, but also we need to have a legal process for people who want to come for peaceful purposes. Because if the Border Patrol is spending their whole time tracking down people who want to come for farm work or construction or wherever the case might be, that's distracting from border security. That's distracting from real security. We need to focus on the population of people who aren't, who are causing trouble. And in order to do that, you need to have a legal immigration system that works, that's functional, that's realistic for people, and responsive to the U.S. economy, which we haven't had really in decades.
David, I want you to come back, maybe spend an hour with us one day and talk through the truth of all of this about what a sensible legal immigration system would look like and how important it is to the economy of the country. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Minute late time now, WWL First News. 6:43, 17 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL on this Halloween morning. Maybe a chance for rain today and this afternoon, particularly around the time the kids go trick-or-treating, which is unfortunate considering it's been 26 days since we've had any measurable rainfall, but I guess we need it. Let's find out more about that from our good friend Dr. Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. How you doing, Mike?
Man, I am doing well. How are you? Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. But you know, first thing I got to ask you about is Hootie Strain. How's Hootie Strain doing?
Oh, Hootie is having a Hootie Day. Every day is a Hootie Day. Yeah.
It's Hootie Ween, isn't it? It's Hootie Ween.
It's Hootie Week. That's right.
No, Ween. Hootie
right.
Ween.
Well, Hootie's already up and, you know, and terrorizing the house and just having a glorious morning.
Hootie is Dr. Strange's new Basset Hound puppy that's how old now?
Now we're going to be about 12 weeks. We're already at 19 pounds, though.
Ooh. All right, let's talk
about... Yeah. We're growing rapidly.
I bet. Let's talk about sugarcane harvest. How's that going?
Sugarcane harvest is growing very, very well. We are, rolling through the field, and a lot of areas were a little lower on tonnage, a little lower on sugar in some areas, but by and large, it's very good. Sugarcane price, about 38.5 cents. We do expect we'll be done probably mid-January, but on about 533,000 acres, $1.5 billion.
Wow.
$1.5 billion, about 2 million tons. And so it's going very well. We're very pleased. These new varieties are really making a big difference. That's the thing about Louisiana sugar. We have two of the preeminent sugarcane research stations in the world with new varieties, new technologies, and we really get it in the hands of the farmers, you know, just immediately once we get the research done. So it's doing very well. I've been talking to our cane farmers on a daily basis, and so they're happy. This dry weather, we need a little bit of rain. That would help, but they're doing very well. We're very happy about that.
Speaking of the dry weather, you know, I mentioned 26 days, I think it was, here in the area without measurable rainfall. And, of course, today, this morning, I had a little bit of rain in Belchase and in Algiers. Tell me about the burn ban and the dry conditions and chances of a repeat of what we had last year, Mike, with the fires.
Yeah, so far this month, we've had 122 wildfires across the state, most of which are from debris burns. And in most, we have 37 parishes under a burn ban. And, you know, Washington Parish is under a burn ban, Tangipahoa, East Baton Rouge, most of central and northern and southwestern Louisiana is all under burn ban. And we're asking everybody, please, please, you know, pay attention to what's going on. We've had some kind of strange fire situations in Washington Parish, and then up in some of the upper parishes. We've had a number of fires that were a result of mechanical issues. A set of fires in Washington Parish was from actually a pickup truck that did not know they would have mechanical issues, but they were dragging something off the back of the truck, and it's caused fires over many different miles. And those got in, you know, to some on some farms and could have been disastrous. And then we had a situation in northwest Louisiana where on a dual-tired trailer, one of the tires blew, and the driver kept going and really didn't know it, but it was throwing sparks, and it set about 10 fires. And so what happens, it's so dry, the least amount of things can set a fire, and that's why we're urging everyone. We've been very pleased. We haven't had as many, as I call them, the cigarette butt fires where people thump out a cigarette. Please, everyone, work with us. Because you see, we have this intermittent wind, and we've seen winds of 10 to 14 miles an hour, and that can move a fire pretty quickly. We're watching very closely. We're working with the fire marshal's office, and we have our aircraft in the air, and we're trying to contain these fires quickly so they any of them that don't get out of hand. So we are identifying them quickly and jumping on them. One of the things, you know, with this, we've lost about 500 acres, but that's with 122 wildfires, so that's a burn rate, you know, of less than 5 acres, you know, per fire. So we're working very, very quickly. But everyone, please work with us. We're hoping to get some rain, and once we get some rain, we'll lift these burn bans where you can burn these with your debris piles.
Mike, I want to go back to that a little bit. Like, you're talking about flipping a cigarette out the window. First of all, you shouldn't do it because it's littering. You see the cigarette butts all over, and it's disgusting. But not only is it littering, but I think people sometimes don't get that. When they try to get a fire started in their fireplace and the wood is green, they have a hard time, so they think there's no way a spark or a cigarette butt can cause a fire. But please, for the love of God, tell them why that's not true, how it can cause
that's
a fire.
True. Well, just travel down the interstate or the highway and look to see all those little burns on the side of the road. Most of that is from cigarette butts and other things. And that grass is so dry. The ground is so dry. And so when you look at, we follow the burn ban and burn ban indices. I've been working closely with Jay Grimes. And those indices mean something. That tells us what the moisture content is on the surface and the first 10 inches of the soil. And, you know, when that cigarette butt goes out there, once it gets started, it's unattended and it can roll. And if it gets to moving very quickly with some wind, it can really roll very quickly. So, you know, grass fires can start just very fast, and then they can turn into major wildfires. And, of course, now the situation that we have is with all the dead pine trees as a result of the drought. We've got added fuel. And what we're watching now, we're seeing the forest starting to brown up again. Mm. You know, after the last drought, when we had some rain, things started greening up a little bit. Now we're seeing it brown up again, which means there's more stress on the forest. And I'm hoping we don't have another die-off of timber. We had some timber that was some that didn't die that was really became unhealthy, though. And that is a major issue across the state, the amount of trees that are dead. All you got to do is look up at the top of the trees and you can tell. And those pine needles, they really burn fast. Mm-hmm. And they can really, really, you know, cause some problems. So, again, that's cigarette butt, as we say, you know, cover those butts up. Don't throw them out. Make sure they're extinguished. And the other part is that don't burn a pile of leaves or a pile of debris and leave it. And don't burn anything like that during a burn ban. We're asking everyone, contact the local fire department. And they can also go to our Department of Ag and Forestry website to see what parishes are under a burn ban.
All right, let me take a quick break. We come back. I want to talk about the tops of trees, pecan trees specifically. We'll talk about pecans and turkey and sweet potatoes and cane syrup. We got November starting tomorrow, All Saints Day, and Thanksgiving will be here before you know it. And something about I want to ask you about the pecan trees, because the old timers used to say that when the pecan trees lose their leaves, you know, the cold weather's coming. And I was looking at the pecan trees in my yard, and they're not losing any leaves. We'll be back. Traffic now, WWL. 6:56, 4 till 7. Mike, I was thinking about you last night as I went to sleep. Don't get the wrong idea, but I was thinking about what the old-timers say about the pecan trees, because they say, when I first moved to Plaquemines, they said, you watch the leaves on the pecan trees. When they fall off, that means the cold weather's coming, and the hot stuff's gone for good. When they come back, it means the cold weather's gone, and the warm weather's returning. I don't know if that's true or not, but my pecan trees are not really losing that many leaves. Is that a true indicator or not?
It is. Well, it's going to happen as a natural cycle. You know, they're deciduous trees. They start losing the leaves, getting ready for the dormant period, which generally starts, in the winter, you know, often, you know, January, February. But they can start losing leaves, you know, in the fall. So, you know, the old-timers tend to put things together like that, but it's not really – we don't know if that's an indication of how cold it's going to get, but they generally do. It's one of those natural things. And, you know, some of the old timers would also say if you plant corn, they would also look at the thickness of the shuck. And if the shuck was real thick, you're going to have a really cold winter. And so, you know, that there's always something to that, but I don't think the pecan trees can really tell the weather that's coming. However, I will tell you that we are in a very abnormal weather pattern. Mm-hmm. You know, we are now, they keep telling us that, you know, that we're going to get into La Nina, but we haven't. We're still in that transitional phase. And that's what's caused a lot of this very, very strange, you know, very strange weather. We're hitting days, you know, like 90 degrees almost right now. Mm-hmm. And the mosquitoes are still out. And, you know, we keep waiting on, you know, that first winter. I think if we start getting some cold weather, and some rainy weather, I think you're going to see those true shifts. But but the pecan trees, you know, it's a part of, you know, of fall and of autumn. Now everything's losing leaves everywhere else. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that. You know, we are shedding. A lot of areas almost look like the East Coast as far as, you know, the leaves turning and shedding. So I think we are headed in the right direction.
Tell me about the farm bill, Mike. What's going on with that?
Absolutely nothing. That's the problem. You know, we are really, we're starting to get a bit uptight. You know, I met with farmers this week. We continue to meet with them. The original farm bill expired September 30th of 2023. It was renewed for a year to 2024. Then they kept saying they were going to pass it. And this just absolutely stalemated. And programs are ceasing to function. So, like the National Resource Conservation Service, the Farm Services Agency, they can't fill positions and hire people. They can't sign new contracts. Now, a lot of things will terminate at the end of this year on December 31st as well. And so now everything's in limbo. They've had 2 years to pass this. And now they say, you know what? We're gonna let the next Congress deal with it. It's their responsibility to deal with it now. You know, such things as foreign trade, research, there's so many things involved in the farm bill, and it's only 1% of the federal budget. You know, they need to get together. They need to go ahead and have these discussions and pass this bill. Congress needs to become functional rather than dysfunctional. And that's the message we're telling them. You know, y'all have had plenty of time. We don't want any more excuses. We want y'all to go to work and pass a farm bill. They're going back for a lame duck session. They'll be there 20 days. That's enough time. They need to get it done.
Michael,
our legislators are going back in session on the 6th. They're going to be very busy as well.
On a lighter note, when you were a kid, you go on trick-or-treating. What was that one candy you were looking for? What was the jackpot when you got it?
Oh, Snickers.
There you
Absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely.
There you
Incredible.
Go.
It's got everything, all the food groups in it.
It's like a protein bar in a way. Thank you, Mike. Happy Halloween. We'll be back, WWL.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.